back to the Cattle Menu podcast. I'm Caroline Rose, the founder and CEO of K Rose Company and Cattle Menu. Thank you for joining us on this episode. I'm excited to bring you these conversations each week filled with relatable advice and techniques you can take back to your operation. It's my mission to make sure that we can ranch in the next generation. Make sure and subscribe where you're listening so you never miss a new episode. Welcome to another episode of the Cattle Menu Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Rose, and I am thrilled to have Camry with me here today. Thanks for joining me.
You bet.
Why don't you start and just give us a little bit of a background about how you're involved in agriculture and kind of what you guys are up to these days?
You bet. Yes, thank you again for having me on the show. My name is Camry Rorda. I'm from the middle of nowhere, Iowa, pretty much. We live in Montezuma, which is close to, it's just south of Interstate 80, right in the middle of corn and bean country. I grew up in this area in a rodeo family on a farm, and I've since married into a farming operation. My husband and I have about 2,000 acres that we farm, and then we have a 1,000-head feedlot as well as a tractor repair shop. And then before we got married through rodeo, which is something that my family is pretty deeply involved in, training horses and stuff, I started the Performance Pony Company and a nonprofit called Rodeo Kids. So we've got lots of different avenues that we're involved in agriculture, but we definitely believe in the future of agriculture and really just believe in what it does and love having a lifestyle that is embedded in it.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about kind of what your day-to-day looks like and, you know, how involved you are on the farm and feedlot versus in your business and nonprofit. Kind of talk about that balance a little bit in where your role fits.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this podcast are multifaceted. You know, it's good to be diversified in the agriculture industry because there's just different ebbs and flows of all of it. But my husband, he had a lot of this put together before we got together. So he's pretty much in charge of the feedlot and the farming. And I help when he needs to move cattle, or I really like riding my horses through and helping sort things in the feedlot when we've got some to load out, or just riding through the pastures and stuff, checking cows. But besides that, I'm not super involved in the feedlot or in the farming side of things. During harvest season, I help quite a bit. But other than that, he's pretty well in charge. So most of my days consist of the Performance Pony Company and Rodeo Kids. We do sell pony products. We're the world's largest selection of Western bits and tack for ponies and small horses through the Performance Pony Company. So we're filling orders, you know, a few times a week and making sure that people are aware of what's going on. We have a 47 member team of Pony Pros, which is our youth, or the way that we give back to youth in the Western industry through the Performance Pony Company. They're part of a year-long program where they get to represent the PPC, and they also get to do monthly challenges and interact with kids from all across the country. And it's a lot of fun. So I spend a lot of time working on that kind of program for those kids. And then I spend the other half of my time with rodeo kids and preparing their monthly challenges and setting up things for them to interact and grow and learn and do all that fun stuff through that program. And then right now I'm pregnant, so we haven't been riding a whole lot, but of course we still love to rodeo. My husband's learning to team rope, and I'm still an avid breakaway roper, team roper, and I've got a couple young horses that are coming up that I'm excited to start running barrels on again. So busy days.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you get started with your business?
Yeah, it's kind of a fun story. I never in my entire life did I ever expect to be doing any of the stuff that I'm doing. I grew up thinking that I would have a 9-to-5 job and rodeo on the weekends and be married by the time I was 25 and have a couple kids. And I was just, that was my life. That was my plan. But then when I was in college, my mom got injured in a horse accident, and I'd always enjoyed working with kids. Well, my parents have an indoor arena here in Deep River, Iowa, and so we've been doing clinics and camps and lessons, and then they had family rodeos at their facility different times when I was growing up. So we've been around a lot of kids, and my dad's really good with kids and my mom too. And so I've always had a knack for it. But when my mom got injured, I came home and was a broke college kid and had to figure out a way to make some sort of money. And so I started training horses and buying and selling some ponies because I'm not very big. And this was before what I call the pony craze. Like, we're kind of in a pony boom, and the Western rodeo industry has really taken a shift to focusing on youth. So ponies have like quadrupled in value from when I first started. But I didn't, as I was trying to help kids who were coming in for lessons and clinics, and then I was training these ponies, what I found is that I couldn't find anything that fit them like they needed to. You know, the head stalls, I was using horse head stalls and punching holes in them and trying to make shift with horse bits on ponies that have small mouths, and they were just uncomfortable. And when it came to helping the kids, which is what my passion really was, the ponies were frustrated, the kids were frustrated, and I'm supposed to be the one answering all their questions, and I didn't have the tools to make it happen. So after about probably 4 or 5 months of complaining about it and telling my mom, man, if somebody would just create a junior cow horse for a pony, it would change the way that ponies ride. She just looked at me one day and she said, why don't you do something about this? So I was like, well, you know, maybe, maybe not. Like, I don't have a background in that. I don't know anything about creating bits or a company or anything. Like, again, not part of my 10-year plan. And after a couple weeks of kind of thinking about it and talking about it, she finally said, if you're not going to do something about it, I am. Well, I was not going to let my mom steal my idea. So that is where the Performance Pony Company was born. And then from there, as I started to think about how do you promote a product like this, you know, again, I'm still broke, still pretty fresh out of college, training horses, trying to pro rodeo, you know, spending every cent I've got on dreams and goals and all of that. And so as I thought about it, I decided that, well, what's cuter than kids on ponies? Well, how do you get kids on ponies? Well, if you sponsor them and throw some patches on them and give them a discount on your products, and then in trade, they send you pictures. That's kind of where the Pony Pro team started. And since then, I just realized that I had the opportunity to offer a lot more value and some educational opportunities for the kids in these programs. So I started the Pony Pro program. One thing leads to another. And after a couple years of having the Performance Pony Company, I decided to take the plunge and go to Vegas and set up a booth. And when I was in Vegas, one evening, I was talking to a bunch of different people and just throughout the industry, people who can make some decisions and who work for companies that have a lot of products and stuff. And every time I talk to them about, well, what are you guys doing for kids? What are you guys doing for kids? Because here I am in an environment where I'm focused completely on children and talking to their parents on a daily basis and trying to figure out what they need. And almost everybody that I talked to had either discontinued a product or didn't have anything in store to do anything for the kids. Maybe they sponsored an event with some money or some prizes or something like that. But there was nothing developmental to encourage these kids to stay involved beyond competition or to help them and their families even learn how to navigate this industry. And so that night I was on an elevator ride back up to my hotel room, and out of literally nowhere, it was a total God thing. It was like rodeokids.com. And I remember sitting in the elevator and being like, no, like, I'm not doing that, God. And it was just one of those things. It was like, no, you are going to do it. And I went up, once I got out of the elevator, I went to my room and I called my mom back in Iowa, and it was a 2-hour time difference, and woke her up in the middle of the night. It's like, I have my next big idea, and Googled it and figured out that the website name was available. And yeah, by the end of the week, I had some support behind it. I had somebody to help me build my website, and rodeokids.com was born. So kind of long-winded, but that's the story as to how they both began.
Are you looking for a way to make positive steps towards your goals and have a community to support you on your journey? The Cattlemen U Collective is our revamped online membership community for ranch women to connect and learn ranch skills. We will be covering our 6-pillar topics, money, cattle, relationships, home, faith, and cooking each month. The collective is perfect for the ranch woman who is yearning for community that will meet her where she's at
and challenge her to reach new, bigger goals. You can join as a monthly member today at the link down below.
Yeah, it's so funny when you started talking about ponies. Oh my gosh, I think all of us have a story with a pony, right? And it's so important when you're getting kids out on the ranch and getting them involved that they're riding something that is going to give them confidence and encourage them. And I think for a long time, the industry really, we've all taught, you know, well, ponies are just naughty. They're kind of misbehaving. They run off. And I think it's because we treat them so differently than we do, you know, other performance horses. And it's really interesting because we stick our youngest, most vulnerable people on ponies and we expect them to perform well, but we don't really give them the attention needed.
Yeah, it is definitely, it's changed as the focus, like I said before, has kind of shifted from youth just being in the practice pen, riding between when mom or dad are roping or running barrels. When they get done, you know, then they jump on their horse and they'd maybe go to a few fun shows as a family, you know, a few weekends out of the year. And other than that, the kids just played and maybe helped check cows or whatever. But now as the competition start has shifted, we see ponies being trained. A lot of ponies are being trained better than what they used to be, but it is still, yeah, we're taking young kids and we're putting them often on young ponies who also have multiple brains that if they're not taught correctly, they're going to be little turds. And you have to have somebody to train them that has some kind of maturity. And if you, then you throw on the not having the right tools that fit them and they're uncomfortable and they're confused. And it just kind of creates a pretty big storm.
Talk a little bit about what you've noticed being in this industry and kind of the changes or the impact that can be made when you're really focusing on this area.
Just in youth development in general?
Yeah.
Okay. One thing that, you know, it's talked about some, probably not enough. We know that there's a problem and that things are starting to evolve from all of the smartphones and the social media and the highlight reels and all of that. I don't think that it used to be a big issue. And I think a lot of parents are just, and a lot of people, we don't even realize the effect that it's having on youth right now because it's not been around long enough to see the repercussions of what's happening with this. And when we're taking away, there's still a lot of experiences for youth to participate in rodeo and to be involved. And like we see them and they're out there and they're doing a lot of things. But when we're, as I've focused on fostering these kids from a more developmental point of view, like what can we do outside of the arena to prepare them mentally? They didn't used to be distracted with phones. When they got done with their performance and the physical side of it, they went and played, they talked to their parents, they hung out, they did all that kind of stuff. Well, and today, right now, especially with our teenagers, when they get done, they go check their phone, they open up their TikTok, their social media, their Instagram, they see however many other kids or people that they follow making runs on the same weekend or performing on the same weekend. And they're instantly comparing how they just did to everybody else's highlight reel. And that is something that I think that there's a lot of kids that we don't realize that are mentally struggling because they're comparing themselves to the world and we're not preparing them with a strong Christian foundation of who they are and what their identity is truly in. And when we give them the tools to do that, they're able to remove themselves from the comparison all the time. And so I think that it's really important to make sure that we're fostering these kids and giving them the tools to, one, teach them how to perform, the difference between rodeo and, you know, events where we compete in this industry versus our traditional sports like basketball, volleyball, football, all of that, is that in those we have a school system generally or an organization of some sort that has a coach, that has an assistant coach, that has you know, your athletic director, your guidance counselor, you have other people in the school system who are dedicated to youth 24/7 with teachers and all of those people who are observing your kids, and they're able to give insight to them that we don't even realize. Well, when we compare that to just rodeo and these kinds of events, you've got mom and dad who are trying to do everything for them and they have the best of intentions. But when you're the bus driver, the cook, the laundry person, the coach, the parent, the person telling them to get their homework done, like, you're trying to do everything for them. And I think it's just easy to miss some of those things that other people observe because you're around them 24/7. And so I just think it's really important to provide that kind of support for these kids. And that's what we're trying to do with Rodeo Kids, is just be an outlet, and the Performance Pony Company, but to just be a place that they're gaining that outside support that they usually get in other sports that they don't in our industry.
I love that. And I think the thing you said about smartphones is so true. And I am so nervous about what's going to happen in 10 years and the impact of what technology is going to do on kids. And I mean, even adults, we spend so much time looking down at our phone. It's a nervous habit, you know, even if we are saying we're not nervous, but we're sitting in a doctor's office. Guess what we're doing? We're on the phone. You know, we're sitting at a traffic light. People pull up their phone. I mean, we just have this little kind of connection to this technology, and what they've done is make it super addictive, and it's easy to get those instantaneous highs from social media, kind of those, you know, little adrenaline rushes. And I think getting kids more involved, especially at a young age, is so important. I'm sure we have parents listening. What are some things that you kind of have learned on when to get kids involved, like how to get kids involved? What's that fine line between too much and not enough? And do you have any kind of words of advice in that you've seen when working with these kids?
I think it definitely depends on the kid. They all mature at different levels. They all have different interest levels. Like me personally, I grew up in a rodeo family. My first rodeo was when I was 5 days old. My parents both pro rodeoed. I was the youngest of five and the only one that was showing any interest in horses. So my parents really, really wanted it for me. And I didn't want it that bad when I was little. When I was, you know, five, six, seven, they had some nice horses. They took me places. I went to all the rodeos with them. I had all the opportunity in the world. But when they pushed me, like, it just kind of turned me away from it even more. And I still competed some, like I had a taste of it, and the opportunity was always there. But it wasn't until about a month before my first high school rodeo that I really decided that it was my decision to go after it and to be competitive. And it has opened an entire world. Like if my parents would have pushed me when I was younger, in my elementary school days, even junior high, and I didn't get to explore playing basketball and volleyball and running track and the drama and all of that, if I hadn't had the opportunity to navigate that and come to rodeo on my own, I don't know that I ever would have. Especially growing up in a family where none of my siblings did it either. Like I knew there were other options. And so I think one of the biggest things is, if it's something that you do as a family, you know, that there are times that you push your children to for sure be involved. Like, challenge yourself. No's not an option. Let's go. We're doing this together. But there are other times to respect kids. And if they really don't want to do it, if they genuinely are not interested at that point in their lives, just take a deep breath, take a step back. If it's something that you want to be there for them in the future, like, let them come to it. You know, maybe you set aside that money. Maybe you prepare and you pray for it and you think that one day they're going to. But then it's at the same time, it's okay if they don't, no matter what age they're at. If it's not God's calling for them, it doesn't matter how much you push and pry, it's not going to work. And it's only going to drive a wedge between your kid and you and whatever it is you want them to do. And that doesn't matter if it's rodeo or basketball or football or whatever it is. I just think letting them find it, keeping it fun, letting them, you know, and one thing that I talk to a lot of parents about, so these kids are putting so much pressure on themselves. And the number one person that a child wants to make proud is their mom or dad. And that's where we kind of struggle sometimes that I see in the coaching with parents being coaches for rodeo and in this industry. And it, you know, it could be showing cattle or sheep or whatever. The parents are so involved and they want it so bad that they start putting pressure on their kids, and then their kids start taking everything that they say as criticism because they really want to please their parents, and they're just having a hard time separating those feelings because mom and dad have turned into coach as well. So I always caution parents to just be careful on the words that they're using, the pressure that they're putting on their kids. And I think it's very valuable, even if you're the most knowledgeable person, even if you're a parent or an advisor who has won all of the things, you've proven yourself, you've been a champion, you've got all of the skills and everything, you're still their mom and dad first. And hearing it from somebody else, a friend or a different coach or, you know, just somebody else down the road is going to be so much better for your kid, even if they're saying the same exact thing. They will listen to somebody else better. So try to just define that line between when you're being the parent and when you're being the coach. And we have a whole contract and a whole kind of program set around that to help people that we can definitely, that's on rodeokids.com if anybody ever wants to navigate that and learn a little bit more about better ways to do that as well.
I think there's so many good things that you just said that I want to dive into. But one of the things I've noticed is I think kids that don't get enough activity can get restless and, you know, kind of get defensive and talk back and defiant and all those things. And our natural reaction, I'm not a parent, but I see this happening with my niece and nephew and other kids in my environment. Our natural reaction is to say, okay, so now you can't get to do an activity, right? Like, okay, you're not listening. And what I found is most of the time, they just have too much pent up energy and they actually need to do more versus doing less. And it's amazing what a little bit of even just like a walk, getting outside, giving a little bit more responsibility in the long term, what that does. And we all know in agriculture how important, one, our youth are, and how important creating a culture of enjoying the work is. And I just really like the mission that you guys are kind of on and the path that you're leading people to, because I do worry about these kids that are growing up in agriculture, you know, that are starting to compete at a young age. And sometimes I wonder if in agriculture, we've put our work before our children. And they've learned and heard things such as, sorry, I can't make it, I gotta feed, or sorry, we're calving, we can't do that. And so I do think it's really important to get kids involved in a healthy way so we can have a next generation of producers.
Are you wanting to start a cattle operation or learn new hands-on skills? Our team knows it can be hard to find resources when it comes to learning how to vein cattle or how to brand, or even what you need in your vet kit. If you're wanting to learn those skills and more, you won't want to miss this year's Profit Finder. With access to over 25 videos and resources, you can learn hands-on skills from the comfort of your own operation. We created this toolbox for any cattle producer just starting out. We went back to the basics and explained everything from the ground up. You can get access today at cattlemanulive.com/profitfinder. To get a sneak peek of one of the videos inside the Profit Finder, you can go to cattlemanulive.com/peek.
Yeah, and I think on that note, it's that's where, in my opinion, it's important to involve your kids in that and say, hey, look, this is it, because it's reality too. You know, I see that there are the flip side of that. There's the parents who say, no, you can't do that because we've got to feed. And then there's the parents who are pushing all of their responsibilities off so that they can take their kids everywhere. And the kids aren't learning the sacrifices that it takes to be able to afford to do the things that you're doing on the weekends that are fun, you know, the competition side of things. And so I think just sitting down with kids and being open and honest and transparent and letting them be a part of it, like saying, hey, like, you know, we'd love to take you to that, but here's our list of things that we have to do in order to make that happen. This is why we have to take care of feeding first. And I think it's really important. We're in a place that I don't think very many people, including myself, which I'm old enough now and I've talked to my parents about it, but I genuinely wish that my parents would have prepared me financially and helped me understand what it really takes to make money and to organize it and to set it aside, what it costs to rodeo. You know, I kind of had to learn that stuff the hard way. And I think being transparent with kids and saying like, hey, it takes this hard work when you're out of our nest and you're out on your own, we want you to have the tools to be successful. So if you can help us on the farm this weekend, then we'll go here next weekend. Or, you know, if you wake up at 5 o'clock, then we can leave by 10 o'clock and still get there if you're here to help me. But I think involving them in the whole picture and not just letting them do the fun part, but also understanding the hard part is important as well. And not even the hard part, like work, like you said, like being on the farm is fun. And I do think that sometimes we make it seem so stressful and we forget that like we're such a small percentage of the world in agriculture that like we have so much responsibility and we get to feed the rest of the world. Like the good Lord put that on our shoulders and he trusts us. And like, what a blessing that is to be those people. And trying to find that joy in it again. And you know, the struggles that we face and the adversity and stuff, like that's what makes us stronger. And that's, the world doesn't go around without us, you know, just it stops because we need agriculture. And I think just shedding light on the positive side of things and the enjoyment and how cool it is to get to see life come out of an animal having during calving season or birthing season or whatever it is, and being able to create that bottle and make sure that you get out there and then still getting to use the animals that we use to do our work, our horses and all that kind of stuff, and the money that we make to have fun and to make memories with friends, just seeing the whole picture and how the whole cycle works, I think is important for our industries, for agriculture to continue.
I definitely agree. And I think you're right. It is an honor and it is fun to work in agriculture. And it can get, you know, long days and hard work, but there is this beauty. And I think sometimes we just have to stop and remember, like, one, we chose this lifestyle, and two, what a cool experience that we get to be right out in nature. We get to be with the animals. We get to kind of be doing this bigger mission and putting good meals on people's plates. Like sometimes I have to bring myself back down to that to remind myself like why the long hours are worth it and why this mission that I feel very called to in life is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And just realizing that it is a calling and that there is a purpose and that, you know, there's a lot of things in our world right now that there is no purpose behind it. Like, sure, you can make some money and it seems you can become have short-term satisfaction, but there's really no need for it. It's not necessary for the world to go around. It's not adding value to the world. Like, there's so much of that out there right now that I think it can be easy to get caught up in, again, you know, the highlight reel of what other people are doing. But when you take a step back and you're like, but is that necessary? Is it valuable? And then you get to say, but look what we do. Like, this is important. And I think that's just such a cool thing to be able to offer that to the world and to just do your part in making a difference and being the change you want to see in the world.
I agree. What is up and coming for you guys? What does the next future look? I know you're welcoming a baby soon. So what does it look like from there?
Yeah. So for just our family, you know, we're growing. So that's always exciting. And we're not really sure what that's going to look like. We're open-minded, but we're definitely looking forward to taking the values and the lessons that we've learned and passing them on to the next generation. For the Performance Pony Company, we're just continuing to grow and spread the, you know, the pony love, I guess you could say, and providing opportunities for kids. The other thing about agriculture right now is it is small and it's, you know, there's a lot of kids who are interested in it, but they're dabbling in it. You know, there's 66% of kids that I surveyed in 2023 were first generation cowboys and cowgirls. And so trying to make sure that we're providing the content and the products that when these kids start in it, they're excited about it and they stay in it. And while, yes, it's going to be difficult from time to time, we want to at least make sure they have the tools to be successful. So making sure that we're doing that through Ponies. And then we just started our 2024 Rodeo Kids Ambassador Team. It officially started up on February 1st, and that's a year-long program. And those kids are on fire right now. Like, it is so exciting to see what they're coming up with and the ideas that they've got. We're working really hard to get a booth together in Vegas where we can offer a bunch of scholarships and really connect people, connect the kids with that information that they need to stay involved in the Western industry and in agriculture. Because as I kind of said before, you know, we're missing a little bit on the gap between competition and what it takes to make it happen and what other opportunities are even available in the industry. Like, you don't have to be a competitor in the arena chasing the gold buckle and to be a world champion to be very involved. And so trying to make sure that those first generation cowboys and cowgirls and even those who maybe are just new to it or just getting started or who have been involved in it a long time, helping them find those opportunities. So we're just trying to continue growing that and lots of scholarships and a big booth in Vegas and just trying to keep making those connections and helping these kids develop on the back end so that they can go out in the arena and in life and succeed.
That's so cool. Well, we are loving watching what you guys are doing, and we'll be sure to put all of your links and everything in the show notes so everyone can follow you on social media and find your website. To wrap up the interview, we have our rapid fire questions, which are really fun. There's no right or wrong answer. So the first one is, what is your favorite cut of steak and how do you like to eat it?
Ooh, my favorite kind of steak is probably a ribeye medium rare.
Good choice. What is an ag industry topic that you think needs talked about in mainstream media more often?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I think just keeping the youth involved on a deeper level.
Perfect. What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Don't be afraid to jump.
I like that. I think that's very true. And then this one's kind of fun. What is your non-career dream job?
Oh, non-career. It'd probably still be related to, I don't know if rodeo counts because it's not technically my career at this point in time. But I mean, I'd sure love to just be a professional cowgirl and be able to just breakaway rope all the time. That'd be kind of cool.
I think that's a perfect answer. We've gotten answers all over the board. So I think that fits right in with what people think of their non-career dream job. Just something that you always say, if money wasn't an object, this is what I'd be chasing. Or, man, this would be fun if I had a little bit more free time. So that fits right in there.
Yeah, that would definitely be right at the top.
Okay, one last thing that I wanted to mention earlier, and I didn't bring it up, is the kids' sale at Art of the Cowgirl. I think that that really helps the industry talk about what kids are capable of and what they can do when been given a project. I just thought that that sale was really incredible. And I'm sure you've heard some, you know, other talk about it, but that just was one of those things that happened that I was like, well, this is a really positive impact on the youth in agriculture.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of us out here who are in my position who are really striving to provide these opportunities for kids. And for the future, you know, at the end of the day, it's because we love this way of life and we want to see it continue. And so I would just encourage the adults and the people who, you know, who are more established, when you see those organizations, and not just specifically mine, I mean, it's great if you want to contribute to ours too, we can definitely use all that we can get. But I just want to encourage everybody to support them and not necessarily throw in money at, you know, events and stuff like that, like the worldly prize side of things. But when people are really trying to foster these kids and teach them and give them the education to stay involved and to get behind them and support them, you know, people like myself and the different organizations that we work with, we need your support too. We can't do it by ourselves. So when you have that opportunity, like the sale at the Art of the Cowgirl and just different things that are going on, if you have a few extra bucks here and there, or you have an idea, or you have some time, Like, if you can get involved with those organizations, that's what it's going to take to keep this all moving forward. We can't hoard it all to ourselves. we gotta keep giving back.
Absolutely. Tell me which platform you hang out the most often on so we can encourage people to follow you there.
We spend the most time on Facebook and Instagram, and some on TikTok.
Okay, perfect. We'll put those in the show notes. And I really appreciate your time today. And I think this is a great cause and thing that you're doing that's going to better the industry for a long time. So I appreciate your work.
Yes, thank you. And we also do have the Rodeo Kids podcast that the kids primarily are in charge of. And so if you've got, high school, junior high age kids that would like to hear some of those interviews and perspectives from people their own age, you can check that out on the Rodeo Kids podcast as well.
Oh, I love that. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You betcha. Have a great day.
Thanks again for listening to the Cattleman U podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. We are thankful to have you in your community. Like always, remember, the grass is greener where you water it.